Here we are. Good morning. This is my pillow from home. This is a jersey from about the time that I realized I had no future in basketball. The dream died about the summer of my freshman year. So I'm going to be in Luke chapter 9 here in a minute. You want to go ahead and turn there, Luke chapter 9. We've been in this series, and kids, this is for you. I brought my pillow for you, and I'm wearing this awesome jersey that I had to dig out of some recess of some drawer somewhere for you. It'll make sense in a minute. But baptism reminds us that we follow Jesus' example. Was Jesus baptized? Yes. Did he tell us to make disciples and baptize others? Yes. So that's why we do it. It's that straightforward. But the big idea today, I have one idea, just one. And that's, if you believe in Jesus, you must follow Jesus. If you believe in Jesus, you must follow Jesus. So I'm going to read from the Gospel of Luke. Adults, you're welcome to listen along. I'm going to start in verse 18 of Luke chapter 9, okay? I'm reading from the NIV today. It says, once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, who do the crowds say that I am? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life. But what about you? Jesus asked, who do you say that I am? Peter answered, God's Messiah. Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. And he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Truly, I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God. Okay, so I told you one main idea today, but I'm going to break it into two parts and pretend like it's two ideas. So the first part is, if you believe in Jesus, or if I could tease it out more, if we believe what the Bible says about Jesus, and let's review what the Bible says about Jesus right here, okay? This is the break when we review what the Bible says about Jesus, and it's actually mostly contained here in a small form in Jesus' own words. First off, the Bible says that Jesus has a backstory. God sent Jesus to be the hero of the whole Bible. That's pretty clear just in this little bit whenever Jesus asks his followers, who do people say that I am? And they come up with answers about Old Testament stuff. Like it's one of the prophets coming back. You're one of the people that we expected in this storyline. And we realize from this little example, but also from the words that Jesus uses to describe himself and his teaching and what the four Gospels tell us about Jesus, that he came because the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. He is meant to be the hero of Scripture. But then during his lifetime, Jesus taught and modeled how to live. That's why we baptize, because Jesus was baptized and told us to baptize. That's why we love not just those who love us, but our enemies. That's why we are generous. That's why we strive to draw other people into his family, because he taught and modeled that for us, right? Yes. Adults, I might need your help here. Because Jesus taught and modeled how to live, we follow his teaching and his example. Yeah, okay. But the Jewish leaders rejected Jesus and got him executed. So there's the backstory, there's the Jesus teaching and modeling how to live, and in that way we can follow his example. But in some ways, he did something, and his death in particular was something that we cannot we don't follow. He was rejected and executed. He was crucified, and he died. And in fact, Scripture says, and we've been talking about it on Sunday mornings for the last few weeks, he died for our sins. On the third day after he died, what happened? He rose from the dead. Pretty amazing. Have you ever met someone else who rose from the dead? No, not an everyday occurrence. It was as he predicted, right here. He predicted that he would rise from the dead. And then afterward, he sat on a throne in heaven and will return to hold human beings accountable for how we've lived. I know some of you kids know what accountability means. My daughter's elementary school talks about accountability a lot, and I'm grateful for that. But Jesus will return and hold us accountable for either following him or rejecting him. So if you believe those things about Jesus, that's the first half of the big idea. If you believe in Jesus, what the Bible says about Jesus, then the only proper response is to follow him. We must follow Jesus's teaching and example for how to live. Okay? Are you ready? Denying myself and taking up my cross daily, day by day, frees me not to be selfish. So here's what it's like. Each of us is born on team me. And it's like I'm wearing a jersey, and I almost wrote me across it, but then I couldn't wear it anymore. It'd be weird. But each of us is born on, like, playing for self. Each of us is on team me, but when Jesus calls us, when we hear the truth about Jesus, we hear the gospel, the Jesus story, he calls us to take off, and hopefully I can do this without taking off more than I intend to. I didn't really practice that well. But each of us, we have to switch teams. We naturally live me first, but when we follow Jesus, we have to take off self and put on following Jesus and following his ways. And that was amazing. I'm going to put it right there on my pillow. And so when Jesus says, take up your cross day by day, I have to remember day by day that I've switched teams. I must live like I'm following Jesus now, not living for myself. So because Jesus chose day by day to obey what Scripture taught and to do what was good for other people, so should we, right? The trouble is, every day when I wake up, and this really is my pillow, every day when I wake up, my eyes pop open off my pillow, and here's the me-centered life. I have to again, today, not wear this jersey. It's almost like I wake up wearing selfishness every day, and I have to take it off every day. Does that make sense? It's natural. We wake up, and my nerves are connected to things that feel good to me. My story and my thinking is connected to things that I want. And so it's very easy to slip back into. I know at one point I was baptized, but it's very easy to put back on the me jersey every day when my head comes off my pillow. But every day, I have to wake up and take off selfishness so that I can follow Jesus, because Jesus chose day by day to obey Scripture and to love others, not putting himself first, and so should we. But it's not just hard work. It's not just a chore. Kids, help me out here. What is a chore? You got that? Parents, you might want to define chores a little better when you get home. I think of a chore as something that has to be done and is no fun. Must be done, no fun. That's a chore, right? But taking up my cross day by day, taking off selfishness day by day, is not meant to be just a chore. It's meant to make room for the good that Jesus does too. Taking off selfishness helps me become good friends with people. It gives me space where I'm not thinking about myself all the time, to think about others and what's good for other people, and to draw close and actually have meaningful relationships with people. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but selfishness kills relationships. Did you know that? And taking off selfishness makes room for good connections with people. The day-by-day cross makes me available to welcome people into my comfortable times and places that would mostly be about me. So, one last thing, and I'm really almost done. This is blowing my mind. I hope it's blowing your mind. What does it mean when Jesus says, whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses it for my sake will actually save it? What does that mean? I think it means this. Some people believe the story about Jesus is true, but they don't try to obey his teachings and example. They want the forgiveness, they just don't want to follow. Jesus does not offer that. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. So there has to be the one-time thing of, I am not going to be about me. I'm going to follow Jesus. But then there has to be the day-by-day taking off the selfishness, leaving it on my pillow, and walking with Jesus. And that's the second thing. Church folks, could I talk to church folks for just a minute? That was great. I don't know who that was, but that was great. Some adults find church and church life to be comfortable. We think back to the time we decided to follow Jesus, our baptism, our confirmation, whatever it was, that time when Jesus woke us up. We think back to that way back when, but we don't want Jesus to shake up our friend group and our routine lives now. And so we have this like church life that's like a new version of comfortable that we want to save. And Jesus would say, if you want to save that, you'll lose it. But whoever loses it for my sake will find it. That's it. So Jesus died for us in a way that is one once for all. He died for our sins. But he talked about taking up our cross so that we would follow his example of not living for ourselves, but following him and making room in our lives to love other people and put other people first. If we believe in Jesus, we have to follow him. So three ways to respond, three ways you might respond today. First, you might decide to follow Jesus for the first time. Kids, if you have not decided to follow Jesus, you could talk to Mrs. Lori or to Mr. David or one of the lab partners if you want to follow Jesus. If you have not decided that yet and you want to do that, they would love to talk with you. Adults, we're going to have folks with lanyards that say prayer team all across the back, or you could grab myself, or really you could grab anyone in this raised t-shirt because we're on Team Jesus. And we're trying to follow Jesus. And we would love to talk to you about how to follow him. So that's one way you might respond. Second thing is maybe you need to restart the day-by-day habit of deciding not to live for yourself. If you've tried to save your life, you said, I got baptized, or I decided to follow Jesus, or I became a Christian, or I got saved, or whatever language you use. If you did that back when, but day-to-day you're not taking off this, you're waking up wearing selfishness, and you don't take it off, maybe it's time to restart that habit of taking off selfishness so that you can be a new life raised with Christ, walking with him. That would be a second way to respond. But a third way is tell somebody this week. Let's have some Jesus conversations. Our neighbors, our family, our friends, our coworkers, they need to hear about Jesus. Let's tell somebody. Can we do that? Yeah, nobody wants to. But we can. Yes, we can. Thank you. Can we pray? Everybody's like, yes. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for laying down your life for us. Thank you for calling us to follow as well, and for making room in your family for us. Thank you for giving us new life, for taking up residence in us. Thank you for empowering us by your Spirit to follow in your ways and to live like a new family. Lord, today we want to take off selfishness and put to death the me-centered life so that we could live our lives for you and serving others and drawing them into your family. We believe in you. Empower us to follow. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.